Seems as though we're a little off, huh? Not having joined together last weekend. See a few folks missing here and there. I guess you get a weekend off and people decide they get every weekend off. I don't. January the 6th, just to give you an idea of the Christian year, January the 6th is the day that you celebrate Epiphany, when the wise men come. It is an incredible and wonderful story about these wise men. We don't know how many there were, by the way. Go and read the scriptures very carefully. They brought three gifts, but it does not tell us how many people there were that came. I think there was more than three. They came, and they weren't even Jewish. They had no idea. They were a completely different religion. And they were able to understand what God was saying to them and about coming and seeing the new king. So they come, and it takes them 3 years, by the way, to get there, most likely. And they come and see the child, Jesus, living with his mother and father. They do not come to the manger, as most of our scenes have it. They come 3 years later. It took them time to discern what was going on, to realize what they were seeing, and then to journey there. And then the Sunday after Epiphany, in the Christian year, we always celebrate the baptism of Jesus Christ. And from that day on until Easter, we start looking, if I preach from any of the Gospels, we will be looking and we will be seeing what happens from Jesus' baptism until Easter. Whether it's a teaching, whether it's a healing, it's all centered there in looking at the years of his life and his ministry. So today I want to look at the passage from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It's a very short section, but it has powerful and wonderful things in it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." John was the one that was preparing the way. Maybe you know those scriptures that are often referred to him from the book of Isaiah, about how he is out in the desert preparing the way for those to come, preparing and getting ready people to listen to what the Messiah has to say when the Messiah does come. Now, John was not the kind of person that people were attracted to. You see, it says that he wore camel hair, and that was not something that was entirely comfortable. He wore something that was very uncomfortable. And it said that he had a special diet. And I think I'm okay with half of his diet. Okay? Because half of his diet was honey. I think I could eat honey every day if I could eat honey. But the other half of his diet was locusts or grasshoppers. Okay? Maybe that's why he needed the honey. John is out in the wilderness, and he is calling people to come to the river and be baptized. Baptism happened before the Christian faith ever did. Those who were seeking to learn more about God, those who were called seekers, those who were called those who wanted to be part of the Jewish faith would come and would be baptized. They would be cleansed. They would be made anew. And as they came, John is preaching a baptism of repentance for sins. You are sinful people and you need to get straight. Come and be baptized. And some were coming to look at him, and some were coming to say, what is he doing and why is this happening? But when Jesus comes, he sees no need for Jesus to be baptized. For Jesus is not one that's filled with sin, as we are. Scripture tells us that Jesus was without sin. And he comes and he wants to be baptized, and many are looking to see what would happen. And John says, no, I can't baptize you. For you see, I'm doing the baptism of repentance of sins, and you don't have sin. You don't need this baptism. And Jesus says, yes, I do. It's right for this to happen. I need to be baptized by you, Jesus says. And it says to us that John finally relents and says, okay, it's all right. For you see, if you read one of the other Gospels, the Gospel of John, and read what it has to say about this baptism, John knew something beforehand. John knew that whoever he baptized and he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon, that this was the one. This was the Messiah. This was the Christ. This was the one that they had been waiting for centuries. Now, John and Jesus grew up together at times, I think. They were cousins. Don't ask me to figure that out properly, but I think they were cousins once removed, or second cousins, or however you want to say it. They were cousins. So I can imagine them playing together as young kids, and I can imagine them. But it says here that John didn't know him. And I think that what that means is he didn't know completely what was going to happen. But God had told him what was going to happen ahead of time. And John's been paying attention for this. So as Jesus is laid down into the waters and then brought back up out of the waters, the heavens part, and what descends is something that looks like a dove. It's not a dove, but it looks like a dove. That's what the scriptures say. It looks like this dove that descends and lands upon Jesus. And all of a sudden, a voice comes from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I don't think Jesus was the only one that heard the words. I think John heard them. I think all who were gathered heard those words. This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. What an incredible thing to happen at that moment. For you see, Jesus understands that there's more happening at baptism than dying to the old self and becoming a new creation. Jesus understands there's more happening at baptism than dying to the old self and being resurrected to a new creation. That voice was important. The Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus was important. It was not just being baptized as we do. For you see, when we are baptized, we are laid back in the waters. As Baptists, what we believe, as we are laid back in the waters, it's as though we are being buried to our old self. And we are putting that old self to death. and it's being buried under those waters, and then we are being resurrected into the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I still will never forget the one time I baptized the whole family, and one of the young men in that family, I don't think he was any more than about 10 or 11 at the time. He came into the baptismal pool, and we went through what we normally go through when we talk about things. I asked him, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And he said, "Yes." He grabbed a hold of my arm, and I stepped back, and I leaned him down under the waters, and as I lifted him up out of the waters, a completely new look came over him. A completely new look came over him, and it shined out from him in such an incredible and a powerful way. And I just remember standing there going, this is what baptism is. This young man got a concept of his old life is buried and gone and no more, and God shined upon him in such a way that you could just see it in his face. I know the words that I use over and over again for baptisms, but I'll never forget the look in that young man's face. Something happened at that moment. Jesus knew that there was more than that laying back and dying to the old self and becoming alive again. A voice from heaven speaks powerful words for all to hear. A voice from heaven speaks powerful words for all to hear. This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but deep within me, gosh, I'd love to hear those words, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to hear the heavens just open and to hear those words for everybody else to hear? You see, for Jesus, it happened. It happened for him to hear that voice and for those that were there. How do I know that it was not just for Jesus? Look at the way it's spoken. It doesn't say, "You are my son." The voice says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I don't know about you, but if I was there at that moment and Jesus comes up out of the water and the heavens part and something like this comes down, and then I hear the voice, I think I'm in the wrong place. This may be more than I can handle. This may be more than I can hold on to. This may be more than what I expected. But you see, John knew that was going to happen. John didn't know who exactly, but he knew what was going to happen. The Gospel of John tells us that in the first chapter. John said, "I knew that." And when it happened, I can only imagine how overwhelmed John was. "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." You know what? I think every one of us needs to hear those words spoken to us. It was not just for Jesus' sake they were spoken. It was spoken for all who were there that day. And I think we need to hear the same thing. Would it not make a difference in how people live? What if you were to hear if you were to get in your car, walk out of church, get in your car, start it up, and start to move the car, and suppose you hear God say this, "You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Now, how many of you are going to turn the car off? And how many of you are going to go, "What did I just hear?" And how many are not going to tell anybody else what you just heard? Because if you tell anybody else, what are they going to say? I heard somebody say it, "You're crazy." Folks, I want to let you know that God still speaks. God still talks. God talks by many and various ways, and sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we don't notice it. But those moments when we do, wow, how powerful are they? I still remember very clearly. I heard it. I know I heard it. I know that I heard God say to me, "Why are you hiding amongst the baggage when I'm calling you out to be a pastor? Why?" I heard those words. They were audible for me. I don't know if anybody else in Bay Lake Pines Park that day heard those words, but I know I did. I know I've been other places where I've heard my name called. And I turn around and look, and nobody's looking for me. But I very clearly have heard a voice say, "Tim." Very clearly. And I turn around and look, and there's no one there. There's no one looking for me. It may be in a mall, it may be while I'm off by myself, but I've heard it. And I think deep down inside, for all of us, we need to hear God say, "You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Some of us are not pleased with ourselves, are we? We wish we were better at this or better at that. We wish we could stick to our guns sometimes when we don't. We wish we could follow through on promises and vows that we make, but we don't. I'm here today to tell you the heavens still open up. And God still says, "You are my child. You I love. And with you I am well pleased." Gosh, what would happen if all the people could hear that? Would our society be different? Would our churches be different? For you see, the same thing has happened for us. We've been baptized. The Holy Spirit has descended from heaven, whether we saw it or not, and has alighted upon us and inhabits us and exists within us and reminds us about who Jesus is and reminds us that God loves us and reminds us how God's calling us to live and reminds us over and over again that God loves us. That was settled, folks. That was settled over 2,000 years ago on a cross. God said, "I love you this much." And sometimes we still doubt it, don't we? I would encourage you, Find some time this week just to get off and sit. Do the unthinkable and don't take your phone with you. And just sit in God's presence. And let God reach out to you and say, "You are my child. And I love you. And with you I am well pleased." If you need to take something with you for your time, take a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper and write down what happens when you finally hear that. Write down what's going on inside you when you finally hear God say these words to you. Remember one of my professors, he used to, anytime he read the New Testament to us, he was reading straight from the Greek and translating it in his head and reading out to us. And he would tell us, I was always amazed that he could do this. I asked him to come to my ordination and preach a sermon. I figured I'd just ask. I know he's going to say no, but I'll ask. And he looked at me and said, "Sure." And I didn't know what to do because I still think very highly of this man. Well, when he came, I had forgotten to tell him that I wanted him to read the scripture that he was going to use that day. And he looked at me and he told me, he said, "All I brought with me is my Greek New Testament." And I said, "Dr. Henson, that's okay, read it." And he stood up in front of people. And 99% of the people had no idea what he was doing. He said, "Today I'll be reading from the Henson Bible," meaning that he was translating from the Greek. He was reading Greek and speaking English. He used to translate Matthew 6:33. Some of you might know that verse. "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." The way he would translate is that you seek what God has for you and what God wants for you, and God will okay you. And the okaying of you, that still rings in me. God wants to call out to you, and God wants to say, "You are my child. I love you. You're okay. I'm pleased with you." Think about this question for this week. If we could speak, or if we could keep centered on God speaking acceptance of us, how would our lives be different? If we could keep centered on God speaking acceptance of us, how would our lives be different? I'm going to go to a time of prayer. But you don't have to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask Jonathan to keep that question up there. If you just want to take a moment and look at that question, meditate upon it, consider what it says, and let God touch your heart. And after a while, I'll lead us in prayer. Lord, the truth is you have accepted us. You've accepted us as your children. You love us deeply and profoundly. You have placed your Holy Spirit within us. And you are pleased with us and who we are. Are there things to improve? Oh, yes. Are there things to change? Most definitely. But Lord, just as we are right now, you accept us and you love us. May we grab a hold of that love. May we allow your Holy Spirit to inhabit us deeply. And may we walk fully in your ways, that people might truly be able to see your tremendous love when they look at our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.